Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, John chapter 14. We've been in it a couple weeks now. You remember in chapter 13, the disciples and Jesus had had the Passover supper. Judas had left, and then Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And whether it was as a result of seeing the Lord's Supper and realizing what it meant, or maybe just as the end came closer, the disciples realized more and more that Jesus' ministry was coming to an end. He told them that he was going to be given over to be given over and be put to death. Now, we also told them that he was going to be raised again, but they sort of focused in on being put to death. And as they sat around the table and they realized that the ministry, his ministry, was coming to an end, they were sad and they were troubled. And so the 14th chapter starts with Jesus telling his disciples, again, the 11 that were there, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he told them so that they wouldn't be sad and troubled. He said, "Look, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to get a place ready for you. And when I get it done, I'll come back so that we can be together." And we ended last week in verse 14, where he says, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And we talked about last week how asking anything in Jesus' name means asking in God's will, according to his will. And as the Holy Spirit helps us to do that, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask, I will do it." So we start tonight in verse 15, but just keep in mind the context of the verses that we're going to read tonight. They're still in the upper room. They're sitting around a table. His disciples are sad and troubled because they know that he's about to be put to death and he will be leaving them. And so everything that Jesus says while they're there is a way to comfort them, is a way to relieve their trouble. So he says in verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And if you look at the verbs in those verses, the verse is really saying, if you keep on loving me after I'm gone, if you keep on loving me, then you will keep on keeping my commandments. Okay? Again, if you love me, and again, he would tell them later, "By this so all men know that you're my disciples, that ye love one another." And again, his two greatest commandments were to love God and to love others. All the rest of them revolve around that. And so if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then notice what he says in verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now, again, the "I" is emphatic, "and I will pray." Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm the only one that can do this. I'm the only one that can pray and the Father hear and send another comforter. Now, it doesn't, and again, if you look at verse 15 and verse 16, Jesus wasn't saying, "Hey, you've got to keep on loving me and keeping my commandments, and then I'll pray." He was going to pray anyway. The Holy Spirit was going to come. But what he was saying is, it's only as you keep on loving me and obey my commandments that you'll have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the only way it works. We can't claim the power of the Holy Spirit and be disobedient to God. It doesn't work that way. He won't give us that power. So Jesus is going to pray, and the Father is going to give the Holy Spirit. And that giving of the Holy Spirit is going to come on the day of Pentecost, okay? As the disciples were gathered in another upper room. I don't know, could have been the same upper room, I don't know, but they were gathered in another upper room. And there were flames of fire, and there was 120 of them. They had spent 10 days in prayer, according to the book of Acts. And there were flames of fire, tongues of fire that appeared, and there was a rushing, mighty wind. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. Now, the Holy Spirit has been in the world and around from the beginning. He was there at creation. When God said, "Let's make man in our image," it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked in the life of Christ. Okay? He worked in the life of Christ. But at Pentecost, he came on the church. He came on individual Christians like he'd never done before in the Old Testament. And before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come and reside on a person temporarily. He would come for a special situation. He would come for a special circumstance. But when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, he came to stay. He wasn't going to leave. The Holy Spirit is going to continue the work that Jesus started. Continue the work that he started. We sometimes pray when we're facing a special situation or we're having a special emphasis or something like that. Lord, send the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's already here. I mean, we don't need to pray. I mean, Jesus prayed that God would send the Holy Spirit, and God answered that prayer. And when he sent the Holy Spirit, he sent the Holy Spirit to stay. So we don't need to pray that God would send the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that we would clear all the things out of our life that allow the Holy Spirit to work through us and claim the power that he makes available. So we need to pray that we would be useful vessels, that we would be qualified vessels, that we would be the vessels that the Holy Spirit could use. That word comforter in verse 16 comes from the Greek word parakletos. It means one called alongside. It was used in legal terms. It referred to a lawyer, one that usually a defense lawyer that would come and stand by the side of somebody that was accused of a crime. In 1 John 2, verse 1, the Apostle John uses that same Greek word, and there it's translated into our English as advocate, one that represents somebody else, one that helps somebody else. And so you can translate that parakletos into comforter. You can translate it into advocate. One of the books I'm reading says another proper translation is divine helper. And I like that because the Holy Spirit does so many things that we could refer to him as our godly helper. Now, notice what Jesus said. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. The same kind of comforter, the same kind of one that stands by your side as Jesus was when he was here. The Holy Spirit is the same kind of divine helper that Jesus was when he walks the face of the earth. And through the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus is continued. Remember, he told his disciples, you're going to go out, you're going to do greater things than I have. You're going to continue this ministry, and you're going to do greater things than I have. We're only able to do that today with the help of the Holy Spirit. So the disciples were grieved. They were troubled. They were sad that Jesus was going away. But when he made this promise, he said, I'm going to send another comforter. He promised them something that was actually better than him remaining in the body on earth. He had been with them. Jesus had been with the disciples. The Holy Spirit was going to be in them. Jesus had spoken to their ears. The Holy Spirit was going to speak in their hearts. Jesus, they felt the touch of Jesus' hand. They could physically feel a physical touch from Jesus. Now they were going to feel the Spirit's presence inside of themselves. At times, the disciples were away from Jesus bodily. I mean, he went to pray at some times, and he left the disciples. When this other comforter was going to come, another comforter, they will never be apart from him. Amen. Never. And Jesus spent 3.5 years with them. The Holy Spirit is going to spend all eternity with them. You know, there's never a time, never, ever a time we're separated from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Never. He's with us every moment of every day. Now, there are times when we grieve him. There are times when we resist his will. There are times when we are disobedient and the Holy Spirit is grieved, but he doesn't leave. He stays, and he keeps talking to us. He keeps reasoning with us. He keeps arguing with us, however you want it to say, to try to get us back on track. But he never, ever leaves. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, back in John chapter 14, verse 6, same chapter, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, now this comforter, this another comforter that I'm going to send, even the Spirit of truth. He will continue, as Jesus did, to reveal truth to his disciples. And Jesus said, the world can't receive the Holy Spirit because they can't see him. See, the world wants to see something. If they can't see it, they won't believe it. But so they can't see him, and they don't know him. But you know him. You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The moment we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in to dwell in us. And it seals that person for God. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee or earnest that he will keep his promise to complete our salvation. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's God's guarantee. It's his earnest. That word earnest comes from the Greek word arabon, and it's used three times in the New Testament. Paul uses it all three times, twice in 2 Corinthians and once in Ephesians. And it's all in connection to the Holy Spirit. And again, it's God's, hey, I'm going to keep my promise. I mean, when you receive Christ as your Savior, I guarantee you, I'm going to save your soul. I'm going to save your body. You're going to get a new body, and I'm going to give you an eternity in heaven. That's the promises that come along with salvation, and the Holy Spirit seals that. And so in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, because you are bought with a price. Our body is the temple of the of God. The Holy of Holies, the Greek word for the Holy of Holies is naos, N-A-O-S. And again, the Holy of Holies was back in the temple, in the tent, that tabernacle that Moses made. The Holy of Holies was where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the mercy seat was, where the presence of God dwelt. Okay? Today, we are that Holy of Holies. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, stop and think just for a minute. Back when they had the Holy of Holies, nobody could go in there except the high priest. The high priest could only go in one day a year on the Day of Atonement. He went in with the blood, and he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, atoning for the sins of the people for another year. When Christ died on Calvary, the curtain in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. God tore it open because God was going to, again, God, the access to God was not going to be limited anymore. It wasn't going to be just for one person to go in one time of year. God became available to every Christian 24/7. 24/7. He's always with us. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That word comfortless in the comes from the Greek word orphanos, where we get our word orphans from. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm leaving. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm getting ready to go back to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm going to come to you, and he comes to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. After his body was placed in the tomb, nobody that was lost, nobody that had rejected Christ, saw him again. The only people that saw him were his disciples and other Christians, those that had received Christ. But Jesus said, you're going to keep beholding me. You're going to keep seeing me because I live, you're going to live. As his life is eternal, our life is eternal, and we see him through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us through him. All right, verse 20. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now, I believe at that day, the day he was talking about his resurrection. You'll know that day by experience, not just because of what I've told you, but by experience, that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So he says, look, again, I'm getting ready to go back to heaven, but our fellowship is not going to be unbroken. Our fellowship is going to continue. I'm going to be in you because the Holy Spirit's going to be in you. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Again, loving him, keeping his commandments. And somebody that does that will know the love both of the Father and of the Son, and he will make himself known to us. And again, we're going to get down to it in just a minute. But one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is to remind us about Christ and to teach us. Now, for the disciples, one of the Holy Spirit's job was to remind them all the things they experienced with Christ, the teachings, the preaching, the healings, the miracles that he worked. Some of the men, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're probably not going to get to it next week, and so I can repeat it again next week, but some of the men in that room were going to be used to write parts of the New Testament. Matthew was there. John was there. Peter was there. And when they were indwelt with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave them an ability to remember things that were hidden in the subconscious part of their minds, things that they had experienced with Christ, things that he had done, things that he had said, and to put it down in the Gospels that they wrote, in the letters that they wrote, so that we could have them. And so when Jesus said, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The Holy Spirit will help us learn more about Jesus, more about his love, more about the sacrifice that he made for us on Calvary. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now, this is the third time this chapter that Jesus has been interrupted. First time it was Thomas. The next time it was Philip. And now it's Judas, not Iscariot. How can you make yourself known to us and not make yourself known to the world? How can you do that? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Again, love me, keep my commandments, and the Father and I will come and make our abode with you. Again, that's done through the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, when he comes and dwells with us. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And so Jesus said, the world won't have this. Those that don't believe in Christ won't have this blessing. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These promises I'm making, these things that I'm saying, I'm just telling you what God the Father is telling me to say. All right, we'll do verse 26 and then we'll quit for the night. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, in chapter 15 and 16, he's going to talk more about the Holy Spirit, but they're still in the upper room, okay? And he said, now look, this Comforter, this divine helper is the Holy Spirit. The Father will send him in my name. When he comes, he will teach you all things. Disciples, they were with the greatest teacher that the world had known. They spent 3.5 years with the greatest teacher the world had known, and yet at times they were still confused. When the Holy Spirit came and indwelt them, they became master teachers themselves. Their confusion was gone because the Holy Spirit was there to teach them. And then, as I mentioned a moment ago, he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. 3.5 years. Now, just stop and think about it. Ferris, can you remember everything that Georgette has said to you in the last 3.5 years? Huh? No. I can't even remember everything Patty said to me, and we've only been together less than 2 years. We, humanly speaking, we could not do that. We couldn't do it. And yet Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to help you to remember everything that I've said. Now again, some of them needed to remember everything he said because they were going to write it down so we could have everything. Well, we could have some of what he said. Again, John says if we wrote down everything that Jesus said and done, we'd fill up, there'd be so many books the world couldn't hold them. And so we just have what the Holy Spirit wanted us to have, what God wanted us to have. But the Holy Spirit not only reminded them of everything that Jesus said, not only continued to teach them about Jesus, but the Holy Spirit does that for us today. I think the Holy Spirit was with Luke. Luke wasn't in the upper room. But you remember when he wrote to Theopolis, he says, I made a study of Christ. And he went back, you know, to John the Baptist's parents and started his and took it right through the crucifixion. I think the Holy Spirit was with Luke as he researched that and wrote all that down. And the Holy Spirit today helps us as we read and study the Bible. I think it's a good thing, and I know many of you do it because I've heard you talk about it. Before you sit down and read the Bible, you got to offer up a prayer to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm getting ready to read your book. I know you understand it a whole lot better than I do. Please, please, please help me understand from your word what you want me to understand today. And then help me apply it to my life. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do if we ask him. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Ladies will be praying back here. Men will be back in the library. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.